This is The Drive with Josh Graham podcast.
We're internet sensations, guys.
Tune into The Drive weekday afternoons, 3 to 7 on WSJS.
Welcome to a Wednesday drive. It is WSJS News Talk Sports for the Triad, where Connor O'Neill is going to be in studio with us. Darren Vaught will be answering unusual questions. WD's telling me we have tons of concerts to give away tickets to today. But we must talk about the biggest college game around here this week. And it really goes back to a question. Has Sam Hartman's Notre Dame year diminished his Wake Forest legacy at all? Because to me, it has not. But if you're an emotionally attached Demon Deacon fan, you might feel differently. You can contact us at WSJS Radio on X if you'd like to chime in. 336-777-1600 is the phone number. If you'd like to answer our poll question on X, is Sam Hartman the greatest Demon Deacon ever? That's where you can vote on it. We'll get to those results in a second. To me, his year at Notre Dame doesn't diminish what he did at Wake at all. In fact, it likely enhances it. It's obvious now Sam Hartman was more special than Wake Forest's slow mesh system. Sam was not a product of Wake's system. He is better than that. To a much larger degree, it's like Bill Belichick and Tom Brady, where 5 years ago, people would have real conversations about how Tom was a system quarterback. That was a common discussion point. Without Belichick, Brady would not have won anything. And then Brady left Belichick, and what's happened to New England? Meanwhile, Tom won a Super Bowl with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who prior to Tom's arrival had not made the playoffs since the mid-2000s. Sam hasn't been amazing this year, but Notre Dame's still pretty good, and it's due in large part to Sam. Notre Dame's still ranked in the top 20. This year, it's laid bare just how much Wake Forest misses Sam. And that will come to a head Saturday when Sam likely ends Wake Forest's 7-year-long record bowl streak. The Deacs need to win the last two games to ensure that they make a bowl game. Likely not going to happen, though, with Wake going to South Bend and the Deacs also coming off two incredibly brutal losses to in-state competition. Sam's achievements while he was in Winston-Salem, they are still unrivaled. He is the ACC's career touchdown pass leader. Think about that for a second. All the great quarterbacks, all the great schools, all the national championship winning programs, all the Heisman Trophy winners, from Lamar Jackson to Trevor Lawrence to Phillip Rivers to all the guys at Florida State, nobody had more touchdown passes in their career than Sam. And if your first thought is to think, well, Josh, he had a COVID year or whatever. No, he eclipsed Taj Boyd, who played pretty much the same number of games Sam did. So it's a completely legitimate record that belongs to a Demon Deacon. And while he was playing at Wake, he led Wake Forest to two top 10 rankings, both in 2021 and in 2022. Prior to that, Wake Forest had never in their history appeared in the top 10 of the AP poll. To me, he is the greatest player in Wake Forest history, which is going to make Saturday incredibly weird. Dave Clawson, he outlined this, I felt, pretty well, talking about the emotion of it yesterday.
I was joking with our team today that, you know, for 5 years, Sam wore a green jersey and they weren't allowed to hit him. So this is the first time any of our defensive guys will ever be allowed to hit him. But again, I think the world of Sam. You know, quite honestly, it's hard for me to watch Notre Dame football. You know, because that's the Wake Forest quarterback playing for them. You know, he spent 5 years here and did a lot for our program. We're still close. When we beat Pitt, one of the very first texts I got on congratulations was from Sam. Again, we haven't been in touch this week. I'm sure it'll be a little awkward pregame, but postgame I'll give him a big hug and let him know how much we care about him. And you know, I tell him I root for him every game except one this year, and this is the one.
Saturday, 3:30 at Notre Dame Stadium. The poll question again on X, is Sam Hartman the greatest player in Wake Forest football history? Already, I put it up an hour ago. It's already got a couple hundred votes on it. 61% say no. And if you're one of those that are saying no, who do you say is better than Sam Hartman? Considering the on-field success, considering the statistical success, the drop-off after he leaves, to me, I think it's a no-brainer. I think he's the greatest player in the history of the program, and I do not say that lightly. Will Dalton, he is the executive producer of this show. WD, what exactly are we giving away tickets to today when we do weekly positivity, unusual questions, the whole bit?
We got tickets for Brian Adams. He's going to be in Raleigh this coming March. You're going to have tickets to Sammy Hagar, and we're going to have tickets to go see the Eagles.
The Eagles? But man, I can't stand the Eagles. You still need to see
it. I know it, man. That it just can't win the poll.
The Big Lebowski. Planes, Trains, and Automobiles won the poll yesterday, so
got
you'll
that
see
right.
That next week, the week of Thanksgiving. Just seems fitting. At Panthers.com, our friend Darren Gant wrote a story with the headline, how Bryce Young's first year seems familiar to those who were around Peyton Manning's rookie season, which is just a reminder that there are quite a bit of ties between the Panthers and Peyton. Bill Polian, for example, who drafted Peyton Manning, was once the Panthers GM, and he's quoted in that story that I strongly suggest you read. Frank Reich was Peyton Manning's quarterback's coach during his prime years in Indianapolis. Peyton's rookie year is also a reminder of how valuable past history is when assessing Bryce Young's early struggles. So many have missed the point of this story, though, and missed the point why you bring up Peyton Manning's rookie year as it relates to Bryce. By the way, Peyton's numbers a whole lot worse than Bryce's numbers are right now. In Peyton's first eight starts, 1-7, 55.5 completion percentage, 11 touchdowns, 16 picks, 64.5 passer rating, and he would go on to lead the NFL that year in interceptions with 28. Bryce Young threw eight starts, 1-7 as well. Slightly better completion percentage, 8 touchdowns, 7 picks, 75.9 passer rating. You don't bring that up to say that Bryce is going to be better than Peyton Manning or even be Peyton Manning, who's one of the greatest quarterbacks ever. That would be silly. You bring up the stats with Peyton just to show how equally or perhaps more silly it is to pretend like you know what Bryce Young's going to be in the future based on his first eight games. It's way too soon to make a judgment. Now, there are guys who flash early, like C.J. Stroud is doing right now, but that's abnormal. We continually say it, and we'll continue to bang this drum. What C.J. Stroud is doing is abnormal. What Bryce is experiencing is completely normal. And while so much about the NFL has changed over time, this has always been a constant, this adjustment. Guys who are taken very early in the draft, trying to figure things out, playing for bad teams. It's not just Peyton either. Troy Aikman, 1-15 his first year. Either 1-15 or 2-14, I forget. He was really bad with the Cowboys. Oh, but those are ancient history examples. Okay, Trevor Lawrence 2 years ago. Like, this thing happens. And those are just number one overall picks that we're talking about. If you want to expand it, we could talk about other guys too. It makes it easy to put it in perspective that this is normal, what Bryce Young is experiencing. However, that's still not easy when you're going through it, like Bryce Young is right now. Here was Frank Reich speaking to that piece of it, trying to add perspective while also telling Bryce, you need to do this better. You need to play better in certain spots.
I think, you know, having the perspective of, you know, the historical perspective of rookie quarterbacks can be a backdrop to understand and give a little perspective. But we're primarily going to be driven by the results that we're seeing now, and we should. But sometimes the historical perspective and understanding the struggles of a lot of great quarterbacks over a long time can help just give me, okay, I'm not going to lose my mind. I'm not real happy right now. We all have to get better. But I understand that, you know, I'm not alone here. Okay, there's some pretty good people, you know, alongside me that have had some similar struggles.
Yes. This is a part of a segment, by the way, we call Josh Reads What Darren Gant Wrote on Panthers.com, because this is actually very interesting to me. Bill Polian suggests that the biggest improvement we will see from Bryce Young will not be during this year, but it will be next year, and here's why. Reading the story, that Bill Polian says Bryce Young should enjoy his biggest jump next offseason. Instead of traveling from workouts to combines to appearances to the draft, Young will be in the Panthers facility, working with what should be an improving cast around him. Quote, the moral of the story is this offseason, Bryce will learn more than he's ever learned in any offseason in his career, and that will hasten his development. As I said, Polian says, it's really mid-year three when you really start to see it. Next year, number one will be physical maturity. It'll be visible by the time you get to training camp. Secondly, comfort with the offense, ability to get in and out of the huddle, ability to spit out the nomenclature. Third, defensive recognition. And then fourth, you know, recognition and improvement in critically efficient situations. Then Polian, who, by the way, I ran into at the Texans-Panthers game a few weeks ago, referenced a play in that game as a really positive sign for Bryce. Going back to the story, that throw to Adam Thielen on fourth down, that was a big-time throw in a situation where it had to be clinical. If it's a critical situation, you've got to be efficient. You've got to make the play. You'll see more of that. This isn't saying Bryce Young's going to be Peyton Manning, but it is saying if you are already writing off Bryce Young based on eight games, that's the real clown shoes thing to do. That's the real overreaction that is silly.
The Drive with Josh Graham, only on WSJS.
If you would like tickets to go see either the Eagles, Sammy Hagar, or Brian Adams in Raleigh, 336-777-1600 is the phone number. All you have to do is call in and tell me something good. And weekly positivity, we'll do that in a second. Real quickly, though, looking back at the basketball last night, it wasn't very good. The Hornets lost to the Heat. Jimmy Butler banked in a three at halftime. The court looked hideous in the in-season tournament.
It is not hideous.
Awful. Bowling alley,
Willie
wrestling
P
mat.
Willie P said he was coming around on it.
Willie P is not the ally you want.
Why not?
Look at some of his food takes and then tell me that Willie P is the ally that you want. 0-2 in in-season tournament games. No Miller, no Hayward last night. And then we called it on the ACC front. We looked at it and said, listen, the ACC is not going 3-0. Duke, Michigan State, Duke's likely to win that game. They did win it. But then we looked at Georgia Tech at home against UMass Lowell, Syracuse at home against Colgate. Big game for Colgate there in upstate New York. They beat Syracuse last year. They led for a lot of the game yesterday. The Orange with Red Autry figured out a way to win that game, which then meant Georgia Tech and Damon Stoudemire stood no chance. The Go ACC came out last night as Georgia Tech lost to UMass Lowell. 2-1 night for the conference. That wasn't very good. Now let's turn things positively. Middle of the week here, hump day in the Piedmont. It's time for weekly positivity. Oh, those aren't pillows. WD will get that when watching Planes, Trains, and Automobiles next week, and that's good. You know what else is good, WD?
Those courts in Charlotte.
Biscuit King.
Wow, biscuits.
Home of the ga-normous biscuit.
The ga-normous biscuit. Wow.
Three locations in Lexington, one in High Point. The only bad news I have is it's not open right now. It's only open 5 a.m. to 3 p.m. So tomorrow morning, or tomorrow during lunch, get yourself a god-normous biscuit.
Biscuits.
336-777-1600. Jason in Archdale joins us. Hi, Jason.
Hey.
Tell me something.
I've got something.
Good.
Good.
What's that?
Listen, guys, we're 1 week away from Thanksgiving and the holidays in general. And I love Thanksgiving. I love family. I love friends. I love good food. All of that is good.
Tomorrow, I am super excited. I have a Friendsgiving that I'm attending. We don't really do turkey for Friendsgiving because that's a lot of effort, especially during the week. But we got a couple of hams, a rotisserie chicken from Costco. Big deal. Excited. WD, he's very excited about that. Jason, what are you most excited to eat when we get the family together?
Oh, man, I love turkey. I love dressing. I love deviled eggs. Oh, my goodness gracious. I like green beans, and I like corn put in the green beans. Have you ever done that?
Yeah. Big time.
Yeah,
I'm a
love it.
I'm a Southern boy, so I can.
There you go. So you know exactly what I'm talking about. Mashed potatoes with butter.
You know what else is
so good?
Good?
What is that?
You're going to a concert. Which concert do you want to go to?
I want to see Sammy Hagar really bad.
Oh, well, we're going to make that happen for you, Jason. Thank you so much for the call and telling us what's good. 336-777-1600. If you'd like to go see Sammy Hagar as well, or the Eagles, or Brian Adams. Tell me something good, WD.
Well, Jason kind of stole my thunder a little bit because...
You're so uncreative.
I'm uncreative. I've got stuff here.
Okay.
But that was going to be one of the things I was going to talk about.
Well, what's the next thing? What's the B thing on your list?
So the B thing on my list, I'm going to a chili competition this weekend.
Wow.
You know, I spent all weekend...
Is Scott Tederman going to be there?
I don't think so.
You don't get the reference.
I don't get the reference.
It's like first season of South Park. Maybe the greatest South Park episode ever. Oh, Scott Tederman, your tears. Oh, that tastes so good. And then Radiohead shows up.
Wow, Radiohead. So I spent all weekend in Chapel Hill. And so I was busy all weekend. But I've got the whole weekend free this weekend. So I'm going to a chili competition.
I can't wait to hear about that. The chili... In all sincerity, I've never been to a chili competition, so I'd love to hear how that goes. For those watching on YouTube, Twitch, and on X, I've got a long sleeve repping my church in Winston-Salem. Shout out to Two Cities Church. And the reason I'm wearing this today is get a chance tonight to look at our new church's building. So my church is moving into a new building, and that's good. And it's also really good that we don't have to worry about getting there 5-10 minutes early to ensure we have a seat. That's how packed these things can get on Sunday morning. Let's go to Beth in Greensboro. Hi, Beth.
Hi, Josh. How are you?
Oh, let me try to think of an adjective. I'm good.
Wow.
Tell me something.
I'm good.
So sorry I didn't ask. Tell me something good, though.
Well, I just want to say what's good is when I listen to the Josh Graham show on WSJS, I try every day. It's good because it makes me smile and laugh, and I love when WD doesn't know a movie and play the... Steve Forbes, good.
Just for you, then. I watched a movie. Every week I try to watch a movie that I had not seen before, which means there's no chance that WD has seen it or heard about it. Last night, I watched Officer and a Gentleman for the first time. WD, have you seen Officer and a Gentleman?
Well.
Can you name any Richard Gere movies? You should be able to name a Richard Gere movie.
Pretty
we made
woman.
You watch. Yeah, Pretty Woman.
Pretty Woman.
Oh, yeah, then I have seen a Richard Gere movie.
Yeah, I know you had. I'm trying to think. There's no chance you even know who Deborah Winger is.
Well.
See what happens here, Beth. That's not very good, but I think it makes you laugh, so that makes me laugh.
It does. All right. You guys make me laugh. Thank you for highlighting my day and making it good.
That's very good. What a call from Beth.
Wow.
In Greensboro. Anything to add on the way out, WD?
You know, you kind of look like an olive today.
Is it because I've got matching, like, pants? Or
yeah,
I'm wearing sweatpants?
It's the match. You kind of look like
an olive. But I got these sweatpants from Lululemon, so they're not, like, trashy.
You got sweatpants from Lululemon?
Yeah, and it matches.
Did Sarah Bradford get those for
my
you?
Long sleeve? No, she was there, though.
I was about to say, like, she
got one of those in downtown Winston. So I just need the people to know I'm not wearing the... Should we do one more call?
I think so.
Just to, I wish you'd played a Gary Hahn drop to get me out of that awkward situation, but it's okay. You can get back to the phones. One more pair of concert tickets we'll give away. Weekly Positivity brought to you by Biscuit King, home of the godnormous biscuit. Who am I going to?
Lynn in Greensboro.
Hi, Lynn.
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen.
Oh, good afternoon to you, Lynn. Tell me something good.
Well, being the rascal that I am,
let me stop you real quick. You just did an excellent Steve Forbes impression without even knowing you did.
Well,
it's pretty good on your part, Lynn. What do you have?
Even though I'm a rascal and I'm hard to live with, my wife still loves me, and I think that's a pretty good deal.
Wow, how long have you and your wife been married?
Just 20 years.
Just? That's pretty good. I've been married for a year and a half. You know, hopefully I'll get the 20, my friend.
I remember when you got married. I remember you guys talking about it.
All right, well, enjoy. What concert are you trying to go to?
What do you have again?
I think we have Sammy Hagar, we got the Eagles, and we've got Bryan Adams.
Ooh, the Eagles would be awesome.
Well, there you go. Congratulations to you. And that's been Weekly Positivity. Man, that might be the first time we've ever run out of music for this segment. Wow.
It's crazy.
Went pretty long.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time once again.
You're on the Drive with Josh Graham.
Connor O'Neill's in studio. I'm fine with this becoming his theme song the
Let's
way that
go.
It's perfect.
The good, the bad, the ugly theme is Stan Cotton's music. WD, would you like to explain backstory on this at all?
Yeah, I would. So I don't remember what weight game I was at.
It was Florida State. I think we were trying to entertain ourselves during the Florida State game.
It was. And Connor just kept looking at me and going, bup, 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 bup. And so you're not supposed to cheer in the press box.
That's right.
And there may or may not have been somebody up there this particular game that was getting a little noisy.
It happens in a lot of press boxes.
Oh, if that was the game, that was Pitt.
Pitt, that's right.
Great game.
And okay. And because great game, the person was told, like, hey, like, stop.
Settle down. Something that happens in press boxes. There are fans in the press box, and there shouldn't be, but there are in every press box.
So you can hear a pin drop in this place for like 5 minutes. And then all of a sudden, Connor looks at me, and he goes, bum, 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 bum.
I do like the idea. Like, can I just hear the drop of that again? That every time Connor is mentioned on the show, that's... What
Perfect.
Plays? You have your own theme music
Magical.
Now. Congratulations, Connor O'Neill.
All I had to do was distract myself with the thing that Wake plays. I think it's before their third downs, right?
Yes.
I think
before
that's
their
right.
defense faces a third down.
Getting to a poll question that we asked today, an obvious question that somebody needed to ask, I think, some point this week.
I'll tell you right now, no.
Is Sam Hartman the greatest player in Wake Forest history? If not, who?
You go to Brian Piccolo, you go to Riley Skinner.
Ooh, Riley Skinner is an interesting conversation point because I will hear people say, okay, well, Riley won an ACC championship while Sam did not do that. He only got to the championship game. But then many of those same people will poo-poo the fact that for the first time in program history, Sam Hartman led Wake to a top 10 ranking and did it in consecutive seasons, saying, oh, that's a Wake Forest achievement. I just think the career passing touchdown mark, if you're going to find somebody greater, you have to have somebody who is on a national stage or at least a program stage or a conference-wide stage has some achievement. I've seen many Deacon fans suggest Alfonso Smith, for example, who led the ACC in interceptions and still does.
Yeah. Was Sam ACC Player of the Year in 21?
No.
Who was?
ACC Player of the Year.
Oh, Kenny Pickett.
Pickett won Player of the Year that year. So he's at least
the only ACC Player of the Year Wake has had is Brian Piccolo.
That sounds right. That does sound right. But I will say this.
No, Chris Barkley. I'm sorry.
If Mount Rushmore is not canceled, he's on the Mount Rushmore, right?
He's on Mount Rushmore. Without doing the necessary research, I would put Sam, Riley Skinner, Brian Piccolo. And then hear an argument.
Alfonso Smith, maybe. Aaron Curry.
Chris Barkley, Aaron Curry. Those types. I mean, definitely when you're talking about the Dave Clawson 10 years, the decade, it's Sam.
This is an even more difficult question that I've been ruminating over the last day about. What is Sam Hartman's greatest moment at Wake? Is it the Army game with the 70-56?
No, it can't be a non-conference game.
Okay. Because it's not a bowl game, I know that, unless you want to go to the win against Rutgers or the game in Tampa.
I mean,
obviously not.
Given what was known about Tampa and knowing that he was going to Notre Dame and that news, I don't know if it broke that day. It certainly broke on my message board and others, but and some Notre Dame people knew about it. I could hear an argument for the Gasparilla Bowl.
The in-state games are tough because
the BC game that they clinched the Atlantic crown in. That's one in 21, and then the other one in 21 in November was the game against NC State. Now, his completion percentage was under 50%, and he threw three interceptions in that game.
That's right.
But he threw three touchdowns and threw for like 290. So it's
a complicated.
It really is.
He's had worse moments against State. Obviously, the Carolina games were tough ones for him, other than 2019, where they won and got off to that great start.
Oh, he didn't play.
Oh, wait, that was Newman?
Yes.
That's right. 2019 was Jamie Newman. Crazy to think. That's 4 years ago. But Sam Hartman, his greatest moment, it is kind of a difficult question to answer. There isn't that clear, that's it type of game for Sam. How bad does Saturday get, or can it get?
I don't know. I did a Q&A for another Notre Dame, I think it was for the Rivals site, that I said I can't see this game being close unless Wake wins in all of the margins where they've been losing badly, like special teams. They have to come up with a game-changing return of some kind, or do what Duke did and have a surprise onside kick that they recover. They've got a win turnover margin by probably not just one, probably two or three.
How bad can you see Notre Dame blowing them out, putting the pedal to the metal? Is there a point where they're like, we don't want to do this anymore? Because
yeah, I could see it. I mean,
it's Sam Hartman versus his former team.
I don't know if it would get any worse than something like 35-3 if Wake's offense is completely anemic. Maybe something in the 40s. I don't think it'll be a 50-point differential. I'll put it that way.
For those who are interested, over under for this game's 46.5.
Send me that cash out, family.
Just throwing that out there. Yeah.
We were having this conversation earlier.
Yeah, we might have had that conversation. Can Wake get the 10, and would Notre Dame want to lay it on thick? I don't know. Just throwing that out there. Getting to basketball last night, because you also cover Duke. How much do you think you've learned about the Blue Devils considering the level of competition they've faced in the last two games?
Yeah, I mean, those are two elite teams in two different styles. We know that when they play a big athletic seven-footer that can take the ball in the post and score over or through you, that they need to find out an answer that is something different than what they try to do against Omar Ballo. Rim protection is going to be a question all year, and we knew that in the summer. Like, that is not a mystery. That's not anything we didn't already know. It's just now we've seen it, and we know it for sure. We know their guard play is really, really good.
What do you think that – does that rotation evolve during the year, or do you think that guard rotation is pretty much – set the way that we see it right now?
I think it's pretty set. As long as, you know, as long as the plan remains that Jaden shoot red shirts, it's going to be the thing I'm most curious about coming off of last night is whether Caleb Foster moves into the starting lineup.
Right.
And I tend to think he doesn't, even if I don't think Jared McCain is going to have many 0 for 5s. He's way too good of a shooter to, and he's way too confident to be discouraged by last night's game. I thought he got really good shots. They just didn't fall. But I think John likes knowing that he has instant offense when he puts Caleb Foster into the game. I think that is, if we know anything about John, what is it, 39 games into his tenure, I think it is. We know that he likes having, trying to think of a way to say this. He likes knowing what he's going to put into the game.
Sure.
Like, he does not like question marks. That's why we didn't see much of Sean Stewart. That's why we haven't seen much of Christian Reeves. He wants to know what he's getting when he puts you into the game. And he knows he's getting instant offense with Caleb Foster.
It's one of the things why when people were knocking Ryan Young so much on Friday night, saying, oh, this is a guy you can't play and things like that. Well, John Shire knows there are spots you can play Ryan Young. And last night seemed like one of those nights.
Yeah, against
a Big Ten game.
Against a Big Ten team. I mean, we saw it last year in the ACC Big Ten Challenge game when they played Ohio State. And it was just, you know, throw the ball in the post and bang, 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 bodies slamming against each other. Like, that's Big Ten basketball. And that's where Ryan excels. It's not the only area where he excels. Like, he can have good games. He's going to struggle when you ask him to guard somebody like a Norchad Omir. It's the reality of it. He's limited. He will be the first to tell you if you go into the Duke locker room, look, I'm a below the rim player. I'm limited. But, you know, you hope that he makes up for it in other aspects, like his toughness and his IQ, the fact that he's a sixth year guy and can read the ball off the rim. And look, he rebounds with positioning. He doesn't rebound by going up and getting it above everybody else's hands. And that can be effective.
Connor O'Neill is hanging out in studio with us. You know him, Deacon Illustrated, Devil's Illustrated. Yes, I love that being his thing now. Real quickly, just touching on Deacon basketball. Anything that we've really learned so far in the first couple of games with them?
I don't know.
Too soon to say without Damari Monsanto?
Yeah, it's tough to know for sure. And I guess we're still in the holding pattern with Efton Reed.
They're not going to get that waiver.
I don't think so either, but until we hear that they're not, we have to act like it's a possibility.
Because Steve, last we heard, they denied them a few days after ACC Media Day, he said when I asked him about it last week. The Deacs will be facing Utah tomorrow in Charleston.
It's a tough matchup.
Really
Utah starts two seven-footers and has a lot of length other places too.
That's going to be an interesting matchup of note. Let me update this poll that we have here asking if Sam Hartman is the greatest ACC or greatest Demon Deacon of all time. 320 have voted so far in the last couple hours. 58% say no, he is not. So it's an interesting conversation. Whenever Darren Vaught joins the show, I feel obligated to talk about certain subjects. He's the radio voice of ECU basketball, still does High Point as well. Baseball is his forte, ACC baseball, etc. Podcast that he does with Danny Graves on the D1 Baseball Network. So where do you want to start? You want to talk about early observations on ECU hoops or High Point hoops, or do you want to talk about Brandon Hyde and Gunnar Henderson over the last couple of days? No big deal. Being named Rookie of the Year and Manager of the Year.
There's probably just more to discuss given MLB awards season. It's early in the year for ECU and High Point. ECU undefeated. They host USC Upstate tonight, so looking to remain that way. The third of a record number of home games at Minji's for the Pirates. And then apparently High Point, because I'm not doing all of their games. Obviously, I don't travel with them, and I'm not doing all the ESPN Plus. So I actually have not had them yet. But apparently, they love losing by a bucket at this point. They lost at Queens by 2 last night, Wofford by 1 over the weekend. So those are my takeaways on them.
And then I should just be super excited about the Orioles. Are they going to be favorites to win the American League going into next year? Obviously, I think, you know, free agency probably will factor into that.
Free agency will factor in. The World Series champion Texas Rangers might have something to say about that. Speaking of which, you mentioned ACC baseball, etc. We dropped it on Tuesday. Josh Spores, former UVA reliever, who closed out the World Series for the Rangers, joined Gravy and me and was a lot of fun. We talked about Creed. We talked about shower shoes. We talked about the Rangers, obviously. And then, you know, he was the most outstanding player in 2015 at the College World Series for Virginia. So, the Orioles are going to be right up there. They're going to be right up there. They're going to be good for a while now. And that's what the build was for, Josh. It's what I had been alluding to for years about this buildup. They're here to stay. You don't even have to worry about it now.
Brandon Hyde won Manager of the Year in the AL. Who won in the National League? I forget.
Skip Schumacher from the Miami Marlins. I actually, not to name drop, but sure, I'll name drop. Had a little text conversation with Skip yesterday.
Hey.
Flex.
Him winning the award. That's my guy.
That's a flex. Speaking of, you mentioned Creed there a second ago. We still have concert tickets to give away. So the first person to call in right now gets their choices of seeing Bryan Adams in Raleigh next March, the Eagles. Actually, don't know if we have any of those left, but if we do, ask WD. And Sammy Hagar in Charlotte. Your choices right now. First to call in 336-777-1600. I use that as a transition to get into unusual questions.
Last week, guys, everybody made it out that I got mad at Josh and I left the press conference. That's not right. I thought it was an unusual question, and it's okay.
It's time for Unusual Questions with Josh Graham.
And I'll get us started. The Michigan scandals had me thinking. This really does feel like, yes, Michigan broke a rule. Jim Harbaugh is trying to fight back on it. The hearing is on Friday. We'll see if he's on the sideline. For Maryland on Saturday. He was not on the sideline against Penn State. It feels like if this happened at Wake Forest, nobody cares. This is a story because it's Jim Harbaugh, it's Michigan. They're ranked right there at the top nationally, which leads to the obvious question. What is something you do regularly in life that skirts the rules, whether it's actually breaking a law, so to speak, like speeding, something like that, or something that just violates social etiquette?
I got a good one.
What do you got?
So I teach as an adjunct instructor at UNC in Chapel Hill.
What don't you do? Lottery boy, teacher, baseball. Gosh, amazing.
I am supposed to park legally on campus when I go twice a week. I have not paid for a parking pass. This is my second semester. I just got my first parking ticket a week and a half ago, but I've been several times since. No tickets. I'm going to skirt out of this thing by paying like $30 a year because I pay for the one parking ticket that they do get me on.
How much is a parking pass? How much?
for a year, it's at least $150.
Worth it.
I'm coming out ahead. I could get 5 more parking tickets and I'm fine.
This might be terrible on my part, but I am selective on what dog poops I pick up for Willow the dog. Like, I do like the equation in my head of, is a person going to walk through this?
By probably the time like it rains or it just like
not it like if it's outside like a home, then yes, I will pick up the dog poop. If it's like in and around right where I live, but me walking around Salem College and Willow kind of like nestles up near like a bush and then goes number two, I'm not picking that up. So no. It might seem unseemly or somebody might see it and say, oh, there's some dog poop there, but you're not stepping in it. It's not like it's in a walkway or anything. So I think that violates social constructs.
I think so.
But just being honest about it, I don't pick up all of Willow's poops.
I think I'm with you. I'm with you there. Because like sometimes it doesn't need to. And if anything, it's going to help like, you know, fertilize.
Boom.
It's the cycle, the life cycle, the circle of life type stuff, right?
And circle of life type stuff. That's what it is.
As long as nobody's going to get it gooped up on their shoe, then yeah, I think you're fine. You're probably not, according to most, but whatever.
Fertilization, circle of life type stuff. WD, do you have an answer to that?
I do. So as you know, sometimes I go to Goodwill to buy things, to flip.
This is bad.
I do. So, like, I'll go and I'll get...
What are you getting at? Continue.
So, I go and I'll get, like, tennis rackets. Because, like...
And then resell them.
I'll resell them. Like, I'll take them to a Played Against Sports and I'll get more money for them. So, keep in mind, these things are donated. They're not buying these things for these people.
You would go to Goodwill. So, the intent, it's for people that can't afford tennis rackets... Like,
you're gonna
take the tennis racket and take it to a sports shop and sell it for more money than you paid for the racket.
Yes.
How much do you actually make off? So, like, what etiquette-wise, I'm fine. Like, that's sure. I went through a stage in life where everything I wore on my body was from a Goodwill. It was like thrifting. It was the cool thing to do, right? You get somebody else's old youth league jersey and you see how many numbers you can collect. That was just like the thing you did. So like, whatever, I'm not above it. But like, do you really make like considerable money that's worth the effort?
I mean, yeah, because like I can go and I can buy a tennis racket for like $2 a pop. And if they have like 3 or 4 of them, I can rack up. And then I can take it to a Goodwill and get like $10 a racket.
Or you mean to like a sports shop?
Play it again.
Yeah, I play it again. And I can get like $10 a racket. Maybe more if it's a really good racket.
That's a racket.
That is a racket.
That's capitalism is what that is. And if you go and you do it a handful of times like a week.
Just let it sit. Okay, what's your unusual question, Darren?
What is a running bit that, so like we obviously on our show, your show, when I am on our segments on your show, we have a series of bits, right? That outside of the context of the show, they make zero sense, right? There we go. Brendan Mark, right? That's a bit. What is a bit you have in a non-on-air capacity that you have to stop yourself from using when you're with people who don't know the bit?
Oh.
I've been doing this thing lately where, you know the expression, look what God did? Like somebody will take a sunset picture. It's a nice expression, right? You take a sunset picture, it's like, look what God did.
Yeah.
I love saying, look what God did at just like totally mundane, trivial things. And it's not, you don't flip it over to the negative, right? Because then that's like kind of irky.
Yeah.
But just like, you know, so I went to the store yesterday. Look what God did. Like,
I have two fun examples of this. One, I just demonstrated before this conversation started. Me and my wife just had this thing where I say, "Hey everybody, I'm Sarah Bradford," or yeah. "Hey everybody," and then I do it with you guys. I'm like, that's just a thing with me and my wife that we do that's stupid and fun.
He does do it to me.
An on-air example. Well, you're my radio wife. A thing that I do on air that I always have to stop myself is when I go to North Carolina basketball anything events and Armando Bacot's name is mentioned, if I hear him on the telecast, like Dan Schulman saying his name, all I think is Armando every single time. Every single time.
Did he not offer a bunch of money to charity for you guys to stop doing that?
$15,000. Still waiting.
Where are we on that? Are we still
hammering the drop? You're not taking him for his word?
We're trying to work it out. We're in the process behind the scenes of getting that worked out.
Okay. All right.
To charity. I'm not pocketing it. Charity. WD would pocket it and then buy a bunch of tennis rackets at Goodwill.
No, I would not.
He'd sell it to somebody for $20,000 because they would overpay knowing it was Armando Bacot's $15,000.
I mean, listen, Darren, they would.
All right, what's your unusual question, WD?
So when you guys were kids growing up and you would go, like, what was an activity that you enjoyed, like, when spending the night at a friend's house when you were a kid? Like, for me, like, a lot of time it was with buddies that I played Little League with, so we'd play the MLB The Show video game or Call of Duty. Ordering pizza was a big deal at sleepovers, but my favorite was prank phone calls. This is like real young.
One of my best childhood friends is Canadian, and he's the one that got me into hockey, like taking me to, like, we went to Hurricanes games together and all that growing up outside of Raleigh. Speaking of which, I went to Franklin Academy High School. Shout out to the Patriots soccer team that are in the 2A state championship this Saturday night in Greensboro. Best of luck at McPherson Stadium to the FA Patriots. I played soccer for 4 years there. But we'd go into his backyard where he had a basketball hoop in his driveway, but we would not play basketball. We would put on the pads and play like hockey with the net, the whole deal. Just be out there for hours. And then if it was too cold, we had like mini sticks and we'd turn like the foyer into like a hockey rink that we could play.
Full pads?
Full pads.
1v1?
Full pads.
Just like foot hockey, or were you on rollerblades?
No. We were on foot. Still on foot, but we'd have the pads on. I don't think we actually had like...
Just in case you slipped and fell while walking?
Well, no, it's just... It's a lot more fun, Darren, when you have... It feels real! Feels real when you have the pads on. It's harder to make saves. Like, think of all the saves you can make with your legs because you have the extra padding. You wouldn't know.
I guess not.
It's still real to me.
The music just died. It would depend on the friend group, or like the time in my life. We played Risk a good bit. That was like a thing that a certain friend group of mine did.
That sounds like it would take forever, though.
It did. We rarely finished.
Oh, that would frustrate me. I'm the type of guy that if you start something, you have to finish it.
As we got older and like early high school, so like maybe freshman, sophomore years of high school, we played a lot of Halo.
Ooh.
Just got souped up on energy drinks and played Halo.
Halo. Oh, my gosh. Do you know how much I loved Halo? This is going to make me sound terrible. When Halo 2 came out, like, it was a tragic day in the sense of, like, our cat was, like, found on the side of the road, and my mom didn't know how to, like, tell me that our cat just died. But we got Halo 2 that morning, and I didn't really care much about the cat. it was like our family cat, and I remember feeling, I'm sad about the cat. But I've got Halo 2 now.
It all's better.
I've got to get to the console so I can play this thing.
I'm dual wielding like a sword with a mini blaster. This is amazing. Sorry, Misty the cat. Sorry.
Speaking of Misty, red-haired Pokemon character. She was the water trainer Pokemon. For a stretch of life. That consumed me. And my friends.
I think that's a good way to close unusual questions. We've covered a lot of ground from WD's racket to, you know, Misty the cat. We've covered a lot. to my, you know, maybe irresponsible handling of Willow's poops. We've done a lot here, Darren. You have a basketball game to broadcast tonight in Greenville, America, so we'll let you do that. Mingy's Coliseum. No Mingus coming out of your mouth.
No, it's Mingy's.
Boom. You do that. Thanks for the time.
Of course. Remember ACC Baseball, etc. Josh Spores, World Series champ. Go download it. Like, share with all your friends. All that stuff. Good to see you guys.